An owl, I guess. Yep. Yeah, gotcha. Sorry about that, people online. I was in the wrong time zone. Right, so this is gonna. Okay, sorry about that. Welcome back. I'm on slide 22, I believe. The slides were put on the Blackboard page, but doesn't appear to be visible to you now, but I will check that out after the lecture. Anybody who needs the slides, they can send me an email, and I will send them to you if you haven't got it within a day. All right, so social technical approach is not new in a sense, and it's used by different groups. Here's a group, an information security group at Royal Holloway that's using the social technical approach. This is a conference that I organize, an IEEE conference, where we're using social technical approach academically. Here's a publication on Social Technical Journal of Knowledge Development, etc. So the area of social technical academically is established as a means. Same thing here is the conference on there. That's me in Germany with a special conference on social technical security metrics. As I say, modeling, measuring, and managing. I'll be going to the conference again. And the slide package, when you get it, you can look. This is the discussion about how between a colleague of mine in Sweden about how this type of approach is used. And basically you have IT systems down here, you have information systems here, you have theory and practice, and the question is, what we want to do, and you can see this in the recording here, is we want to take it so that you can go from practice to theory in information system design, go from theory in information system design to theory in computer science to practice here. And in that slide presentation, I go through that. The example I give usually all the time is, say, practical in an issue, as I do here in password management. We have a concept in systems theory of requisite variety. Then we move down to computer science when we're talking about random number generators. And then in the practical computer science, how do you hide the password file in Unix? So that's an example of going on all these different issues. Now, why do we model? Some people like to understand what they believe in. Others like to believe in what they understand. Sort of a quandary. Who are you? And who is your customer? And who is the enemy? This is an example of modeling social technically. Now, in Chapter 1, you have the concept of threats, threat agents, utility, vulnerability. These are terms you've seen in Chapter 1. This picture tries to put them together in a modeling language. So, in this case, to look at this, to understand this, when I talked about verbs and nouns before, you have an owner who values an asset. The owner wishes to minimize the risk to the asset. The threat agent wishes to abuse and or damage the asset. These measures to reduce risk, they are called countermeasures. And every time you have a countermeasure, there's a vulnerability in it. And there's a certain level of risk. The threat agents give rise to threats that exploit, we have the term exploit, vulnerabilities. and vulnerabilities lead to risk that increase the risk, etc. So this is an example of how, going back to this diagram, we talk what you do is verbs and nouns. This is how you model in information systems. You take nouns and you take verbs and you see how these relationships are between them. And security management, that's what you want to manage. This model on the right is called the security by consensus model. This is a model, a social technical model I developed about 30 years ago. You have the publication when you read where we use this to model the software supply chains. That's the publication you could read. And you can see how these things are related to some extent. What is the relationship between this one occurring? This one here, if you look on the diagram, we have an asset. In this case here, we have the potential victim's data, right? We have countermeasures. All these things here are the different types of countermeasures. So we're modeling the same way, but in this case, in the SBC model, we're modeling as a stack. Here's another model that's in the course. It's in your textbook if you read the first chapter, how they model in terms of the terms confidentiality, integrity, availability. And they talk about, storage, process, and transmission. So in this case, when we're modeling how to attack the student, we were looking at, did we say we would go and wreck the hard disk? No, we said we would affect what? What did we do when I suggested that we should turn off the power in the house at 2359? What were we attacking? In that diagram here, it says availability, and we were attacking the, so he was going to submit the process to transmit. So this is how you're modeling again. You're using these terms to do that, right? And of course, they talk about policy, education, and technology, store, process, and transmission. Now, modeling is there's both practical ways and theoretical ways to model. In this case, this is when we're modeling how NTNU would merge with Jurvik. This is the diagram here. If you want to read about it, you can go on the page. It's called the School of Athens. In this case, you have Plato that's saying you start off by modeling the ideal system, and then you have Aristotle saying, no, you start off by modeling the concrete system and then go to the abstract system. So when you're modeling, you have to decide where you're going to start. In the end, you end up with both the abstract and concrete system, but you have to decide where you're going to start, given the problem. So I started off by modeling you guys abstractly. Why are you here? Are you here to learn? Are you here to just get credits? Now, if we're attacking the student that just wants to get credits, then by stopping them from submitting on time, we would hurt them. The student that learned, just wants to learn, could we stop them from learning by doing that? No, they still learn. So you have to understand what is the goal of the attacker and what's the goal of the defender. What exactly is the thing we're defending? Now I'm going to get into this concept of mental models. This is a model to understand the research and information security. As a scientist, we have two different ways of approaching a system. I'm on slide 34 now, if those are online. Is that as a researcher, we can start off by using the naive inductive approach. That means we look at an IT security or insecurity problem. We make generalizations. We form a theory. That theory helps us to form a hypothesis, and then we make observations and we try and falsify the observation. What do we mean by falsify the operate? We have an hypothesis that say that individuals that are motivated to have control will write down their passwords. So if you really, I mean, will, because they can't stand the situation where they can't get into the system. Now, that's an hypothesis. Is that right or wrong? I don't know. That's something you have to test. And why am I saying this hypothesis? Because we know individuals write down passwords. Why do they do that? Do they have a certain need, etc.? One of the reasons they do that, I would suggest now, is they have certain naive mental models of security. Now, what are mental models? And during this lecture, I'd like to give you a naive mental model of information security management. But so it started off in the 40s, etc., and people looking that when people are facing complex systems, they use simple models to describe what's going on. And if that works, they keep repeating that model. So this, and you can read more about mental models here. Here's an example of a mental model with an ATM machine. So you have a young kid standing by his father. He says, "Dad, how does this machine work?" Well, the father doesn't want to spend a bunch of time explaining things. So he goes out and says, "Well, if I want to get $25, I punch the amount in. There's a man on the other side, and he prints out the printing press and makes the money and sticks it out the slot." It's a mental model. Now the kid goes, "Gee, now I understand how the garage opener works. The man in the garage opens the door every time you press the button." I.e., they take a model of the reality that's given to them, and they use that to explain everything else. Now you have mental models and you have naive mental models that are visual. So for example now, you don't have to do this. This is an exercise I would do, but what will happen to the ball shooting through this pipe? So this is a pipe lying down like this and the ball's spinning around like that and comes out. What would the trajectory be? A, B, or C? What you should do is mentally write it down. I would have seen if you guys cheat, you could have wrote it down, but you can write down A, B, or C. So just write it down, A, B, or C. Now, believe it or not, a lot of people write A and C, which is wrong. B is the right answer. Because the visual mental model affects the way they're thinking about the situation. So people assume that because the curvature here, this will here. But anybody who knows physics knows in terms of vector analysis, etc., how it's going to work. So if you look at this from a vector analysis perspective and done some physics, you knew how this will work. But how many of us remember our physics? And these are called naive mental models. Now, what I experiment in management is what is the best naive mental model for cyber citizens or employees to have of security. Now, for example, now I don't know, is anybody here an electrical engineer? Okay, so electrical engineering, one of the things in teaching is, do you tell people when they're 9 years old that electricity functions like small little men running around a pipe? A naive mental model? Or do you tell them it's like water? And then they've done experiments, and then they check when the electrician comes out. Which one is the better electrician? The one that sees electricity as water or small little men? And how do they determine who's the better electrician? Of course, they have tests. Because that model affects how they act. This is the mental model that we talked about before, is that you have three components. I talked about nouns and verbs. You have living systems, you have abstract systems, and you have concrete systems. So when you're looking at an employee that you're managing, when you're looking at an organization, when you're looking at the enemy, you have to see it as a living system that has abstract values and concrete values, etc. And we use this to be able to influence, observe, measure, understand, explain, predict, and control. When you can do all these things, you can manage security. A 100%. Now we have a control gap going on in society. What's happening is the things that we can do with IT and the things that we can control with IT, information technology, are not in line. So we have control technology. You would be studying biometrics, passwords, et cetera, but ways of controlling things. We also have social controls. So if someone violates your privacy, an organization in the world now, in 2 years, the European law says that you can fine them up to 4% of the gross global revenues. So if Apple violates your privacy, we can get a lot of money out of Apple. That's illegal control. But we also have these things called social technical controls, and I explain a bit what I mean by social technical controls. So there's a gap going on. What we can control with technology, what we can control with laws, and what we need as an intermediary between the two. That's what you have to manage. You're not lawyers as a manager. You're not technicians. You're a social technical agent in information security management. So I'm going to explain a bit of what an action architecture is. You have you and me, we are living systems. And this is a model for you to be able to understand and explain this gap. What is the gap between the abstract and the concrete? So what is in a computer system? This is an abstract model of a computer and a concrete model of a computer system. The abstract model, the computers, you guys are IT, it's a NAND gate. Right? This is the abstract model. This is the concrete, if anybody wants to see a NAND gate, right? This is what we're managing. When you're looking at computer systems, you should always understand computer systems in terms of layers of abstractions. We have the digital layer, we have the microprogramming layer, conventional machine layer, operating system, assembly language, etc. This is the stack we are managing, right? This is the abstract stack for any computer system that you're supposed to secure. Are we going to attack the system at the digital level? Micro, conventional, etc. You see all the things you're studying will deal with this abstract model. This is a living system model. We won't take it in, you take it in this course, is that when you're looking at a system, it's taken from somebody else, is that you have cells, organs, organizations, groups, society. So this is where you basically, we're dealing again with the social technical management. We're managing groups, organizations, society. Strangely enough, with implant systems today and 5G, you might have to manage organs in the future, in your lifetime, right? I'm sure that my generation's biggest cause of death will not be heart attack. It will be blue screen. So basically what you have is you have a living system, you have an abstract system, this is the abstract view of computers, and this is the concrete system. So when you're looking at a computer system as a security manager, you have a living system, brains and hands, you have an abstract system, and this is the abstract view of a computer, it's a stack, and you have a concrete system, it's a series of AND gates. Now, this is a lab that I handed out. I will distribute to other ones. You can start looking at it now. We won't have time in this lecture to do this, but if you take the course, you would do this. For those that you have the papers here now, you have the instructions. It explains a model of security. And I'm going to hold this up. I don't know if you can see this. The pages aren't numbered, I'm afraid. This is actually something I used in industry when I was designing new services. So before I went out and would offer new services in the companies I'm working at, I would say to you, I would use this as a way of analyzing the security problem. In this case, in the course we're doing with security management, if something goes wrong, it's because one of the controls in the abstract or concrete stack didn't work. So if you look on this page that says SBC IT Security Stack, page 2 in the back, it says that you have ethical controls, legal controls, administrative controls, operational procedures, machines, applications, operating systems. It's the back side of the page. Yeah. Hardware or networks. So if you have an incident, did that incident occur because they didn't have the right ethics? They didn't have the right laws, the policies and procedures? They didn't have the right mechanical, electrical, etc. Now, how did I come about with this model? If you go to, in the material again, for some reason it's not being shown up, the lecture map. I will get that done as soon as I leave here. My first degree was in criminology. So when I came to Sweden, I went and I studied 42 computer crime cases. And I said to myself, why do these things occur? This was 92. The article that you have here is a publication I have on that. And I asked myself, is the reason because they didn't have, they had bad technical controls or social controls? What is the reason? When I looked at it, I said, when I aggregated the 42 computer crime cases in Sweden that I was allowed access to, 60% of them occurred because they had bad social controls. It had nothing to do with technology in terms of my judgment and the criteria I used to do that. What's interesting is that the solutions that they have were 70% technical. It might work. There's no reason to say that, but as a scientist, that's what I observed. I'm saying that the problem was because of poor social controls, and the solution the market was giving was technical controls. And then what the government now and everybody's doing is in spending money trying to figure out how to have better and better technical controls. I'm going, well, when I study the system, the real problem is this. Why are you doing this? And that's what this is about. So when you... In this test case, I give you an example of an incident that occurred. This is way back when, 83, so sorry about that, but been in the field too long. And you can read how someone's describing. This is a victim describing what happened. So going from the victim analysis, I'm not doing objective analysis, this is a qualitative analysis. He or she's explaining the actual incident. And from that, I'm asking you to look at it and say, okay, how many, much of this occurred because they didn't have good controls on the application level? How much did this occur because they didn't have good controls on the operating system? Or they didn't have good controls on the hardware, if you say technical? So that's what that case is. That's an example of a case, how you do a social technical analysis. You get an incident, you talk to the victim, and or talk to the attacker, and you figure out. In this case, you see here, it had to do the way the TTY access rights were set in the Unix. That's usually the case. Here's an example where you can look at, this is a Norwegian example, how they had this problem with the bank system here. Most of the problem is because people weren't updating the Java. Now they come in with new solutions, biometrics here and there. I'm going, well, if the Java is still applicable, it makes no difference if it's biometric. Right? But it looks good. Right? So the reason for this occurring was here. And they say, okay, well, we have to do research and do a lot of things to improve the system. So we're going to put a lot of money in biometric research. Yeah, but if the application is still insecure or the operating system, I don't care what sort of biometrics you have. Well, I do and I care because it does make a difference. And here's another example in English for those in English, how the same thing happened when it came to computer fraud. They didn't have a law to deal with a certain issue, and that's why it occurred. So that's what that handout is about, the lab. So why is this occurring? Why did we get into this situation? What you see from university and the studies you're going to get is that universities are designed not exactly to match reality. As Akoff says, is the nature may not turn out to be organized into disciplines quite the same way as university. So the fact that you're studying, decide to go with security management or biometrics or digital forensics, whatever, that's not exactly the way the problem is, but it helps to have these disciplines, and it's important for you to decide. I'm not saying it's anything wrong with that, but just realize that the actual problem and the discipline you have is usually not a one-to-one matching. So what happens, I started off in my thesis with a modeling, and you see you have these different types of insecurity in the world. We have social insecurity, people do bad things. We have technical insecurity, technology that's configured wrong. We have natural insecurity, supernatural. And then we have this area of social technical insecurity, and that's what you're studying here. It's when these two things overlap and meet. You saw this diagram before, how this was brought up. And it's a gap between, in this case, the abstract reality, which you're studying here, and the concrete, the actual crimes going on out there. And I know that as a security manager myself. Here's a Mad Magazine article that sort of explains it in terms of social engineering. It's in Swedish. Some of you in Norwegian, you might understand it. But it says that here, okay, Skynet Industries installed this computer system worth millions. How did you break this little? How did this kid break it? He said, oh, with my Atari machine. Anybody remember what Atari? No. He said, guys, well, how can you break this complex system with an Atari system? Oh, I offered the security guard the Atari machine to get into the door. So when you're looking at the crimes, again, going back to this, you have to see that, and that's what this course is about, social, technical, enabled crime. People will, they're all bad people. People do bad things. Why do they use computers? Because that's where the money is. Right? The technology, the weakness in the technology enable it. If they didn't have that technology, they'd be doing other things. So one has to understand this transference problem, security, and that's what you have to manage. So the mental model that I want you to sort of take away from this to understand what you'd be studying is that you have this abstract model of a computer machine, and then you have this abstract model of what I call the social technical stack. And you will learn how this stack works. And what this stack is saying is that the syntax and semantics of the ethical stack are used to define the laws. The laws are used to define the policy. The policies are used to assign the procedures, and the procedures are used to define the technology. Now, the weakest link, if the technology here is not in line with the policies, the laws, and the ethics, there will be gaps. And that's what we have to manage. That's to be learning how to manage. And the way we manage it is that what we want to look at in the course is we say that, as we did before, is that every system has a method. What methods are being used? Every system has a machine, every system has a culture, and every system has a structure. Structure is the organization, again, how things are organized. And the idea from social technical modeling, what you'll learn is that when this system's in balance, that the machine has not affected the structure too much, the structure has not affected the culture, the culture does not affect the methods. The system is secure. And if they're out of balance, the system is insecure. Now, the many types of security in terms of security management. In this case, we have a system that is stable, trying to make a system unstable. And they will use either a cultural attack, a structural attack, a machine attack, or a methods attack. So these are the different types of attack. Now, this model was designed to model the problem at three different levels. One, you can use this to model the individual attacker. You can use it to model an organization, or you can use it to model a nation. So this model has been used to model, you can read some of the publications, to model, in this case, the individual worker, the organization, NATO. I mean, how do you want to attack NATO now, right? What do we want to do? ISIS wants to get somebody to bring in Article 5 of NATO, start Third World War. And what's going on? People are trying. So when you're modeling the system, you have to decide in the different levels. So you learn how to model the system in this course at this complexity. You're usually as working at this level. In order to work at this level, you have to understand the level of the bank association, the telecom market, etc. And that market itself has a certain culture, structure, methods, and machines. So here again, you're starting off with a very simple model. And you're taking that model and making it recursive, modeling the individual, modeling the organization, modeling society, modeling the cyberspace. And you're modeling because every system has a living system, an abstract system, and a concrete system. And you repeat that simple model over and over again. And you said the concrete model in this case is that you have the data, you have... In this case, we decided arbitrarily, in a sense, to have these different divisions in terms of the technical stack, the storage, process, and communication of data. You have a mechanical and electronical security. That's the technical. Operational procedures, administrative procedures, laws, and ethics. So what you have is that you have this person working with standard operating procedures. In this case, you have your one bit of data. And ideally, what we should have is that bit of data should be connected to an ethical rule. How do we do this? Stay privacy. Should this information be communicated outside of the European Union? No. So if that data bit has it, it should be not communicated outside the European Union. There's a law saying that. Do we have policy in place to do this? To have standard operating procedures. And every time you go down a level, you add another bit of information so you can control the bit. Same at the application level, the operating system level, and the hardware level. So when you're modeling the system, you try and model the data that's being done. If these are two communicating systems, do we have a protocol to deal with the ethics, the laws, the procedures, the technical security at the application level, the operating system level, and the hardware level. Again, this is a model of security that you'll be working with. You'll be focusing on in your studies on how to improve, say, biometrics, how to improve so we have the right label here to put. This is information security. You want to make sure that the right control information can deal with that bit of data. And to understand it, so as I say, you have a system is described by these four observables. Every system has a culture, structure, methods, and machines. And in order to operationalize them, we use this stack of ethical controls, legal controls, all the way down to hardware controls. Now, to give you an example here, imagine now that when you log into this class now, you would have to have a smart card. So I know I'm talking to the right people, everybody to do that, right? And this is the system. So we're a system here. We have a certain method for communicating. We're using this, we're using that, we're using certain machines. We have a certain structure, and we have a certain culture. what this picture is saying is that this system would probably be secure here because if a culture, or this won't be secure, if say I was teaching this in a pensioner's home, they don't like new technology. So you see this distribution of values? These are individuals that don't like technology. These people like technology. So this system is insecure from a social technical perspective because the culture will not allow the new methods, the machines, to come in. This system is secure, even though because we've measured it, as I did here, I measured why you are here. Right? You're here to learn. You like the technology. You learn how to use the technology. So there's a good chance that from a social technical management perspective, this would be better. Now, what do I have to do as a manager is I have to convince these people that this is beneficial to them. You're trying. So as a security manager, you're managing this value curve. And then in order to do this, I need to convince the people in power that it's worth it to do. I have to find the right method to do this, and often I'm given the machine myself. I'm not the one that introduces the machine. So this is the social technical management approach. So as I say, if you take this course in the next term, we'll be looking at analyzing actual crimes and saying, okay, why did this crime occur? And what I usually do is analyze futuristic crimes. So if we're going to, in Pokemon Go, how could you have a criminal, what sort of criminal activity can occur in Pokemon Go? Can anybody think right now, on the spot, who would be interested to attack a Pokemon Go system? Yes? All right, good. But going back to that, who likes playing Pokemon Go? So there's different types, but there was one. As a whole, though, it's kids. Going back to the threat agents, who are the typical threat agents for kids? Pedophiles. Your job as a security manager to help design the system so pedophiles couldn't take advantage of the system. What social technical controls could you make or suggest? I mean, it's not as if we're going to get rid of pedophiles. Any ideas? Right now, is there a geographical fencing when it comes to Pokemon? Could the parent indicate that you can't go outside of Yuravik or can't go outside of this or this location? That could be a social technical function that you allow the parent to configure. What's going on with Telenor now? How do they, the commercials you always have, how do they get their kids to do things at home? The commercials, anybody watch the commercials? Okay, so what the commercials say all the times with the kids is that you can control, Telenor will give you the ability to control the amount of broadband the kid gets. Right, you have control over it, right? And they always talk a joke about the fact that, you know, John will do the dishes because I will give him 2 megabytes. So that's an example of a social technical control, using the values what people value, and then using that to manage the system. And that's what, and it's not just a social control. This is an example of a social technical control. You give the ability of parents to regulate the bandwidth, etc. That's an example. So here's an example of the system very quickly. I'm always worried about this recording here. All right, so I'm going to go very quickly now about using this as a social technical system, right? You have good people, the internet, and you have secure, unaware people. You have not so nice people. You have secure, aware people. Now, to understand the system, what we do is that we have to look at the system as a stack, of a set of security defense mechanisms. And we have security attack mechanisms. Here's an example, very quickly about how this to do with Pirate Bay. Everybody familiar with Pirate Bay here? How they're Swedish, whatever they... The server's actually, I live in Sweden, it's located, used to be located about a kilometer from my house on a balcony. So we have the motion picture industry, right? Looking at this thing called Pirate Bay. We have the two guys, we have to understand this, the three guys actually. And they have modeled the system in terms of Mount Sharemore. I've taken this from the site. So this is Mount Sharemore. So Mount Sharemore says that here, it was on their website. You have Mount Sharemore, you have Cedar's Cave, you have Crew's Nest, you have Pirate Bay, the modeling after Captain Hook and Peter Pan. Anybody's familiar with that, right? So that's the way they model it. You can also model in terms of text. This is in Swedish. But another way you can model it is in terms of these stacks. So here we have Pirate Bay, and then we have somebody else. So they have security technology, they have policies, they have laws, and they have ethics, right? This is the motion picture industry. They're another person. Pirate Bay has the same thing. They have streaming and security technology, they have policies, they have laws, they have ethics, to understand the different ones. So now your job as security manager is to model this, right? And then how are you going to model it, right? So what is the ethics? They're using digital rights management. They're using streaming technology. They say that the policy that enabling someone to copy something is the same thing as copying. That was the policy. Pirate Bay says, no, copying is not enabling. Enabling is not doing. They say that the crime is committed both with Swedish and international law. They say, no, it's only Swedish law. If someone's copying in Norway, it's not, and it's using us as a channel, that's not breaking the offense in Sweden. They're saying that ethically streaming is stealing. That's what they said. The fact that you stream it, the fact that you open it up. Now, so in this course in social technical, you're going to have to learn how to set up these different social technical firewalls. What technique is used? What policies are used? What laws are needed? And what ethics are needed in order to have to defend yourself against the system? You can be hired by the motion picture industry if you want, or you can be hired by Pirate Bay. I will teach you both sides. So here's another example about the problem, but we don't have, how many minutes I have? I have 3 minutes left on the recording. What do I want to get down to? So, one of the reasons that the Snowden thing occurred was because